Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Lars.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, little notify bell next to it. Right there on YouTube. Make sure you're always getting your new Going In Raw content. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. If you want a great way to support Going In Raw and you got a couple extra bucks to kick around, by all means, hit up the Patreon. See what we have available. We're doing this right now as a live stream for 71 great friendos.
Wow, good crowd today.
I know, 71 people. My goodness gracious. Am I sure that I didn't send this out to like Twitter or something like that? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Anyways, yeah, well, it's a big show. It's a Raw 25th anniversary recap show.
You did it right.
Yeah, I did it right. We're also available on you know what I got at Pro Wrestling Tees?
What?
The other day, the world's cutest tag team.
Oh, which one did you get?
Shirt. I got the one that's a picture of them after their battle against the Young Bucks.
Okay.
Where Candice is all bloody and stuff.
Yeah.
It's the clothesline apparel one.
Yeah, okay, that's a good
shirt.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah, I want to get one of their shirts before they have to stop selling them.
And then I got the Sanada shirt.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got one of them.
I wonder if they're going to, you know, when most people sign the WWE, although it hasn't been the case with any of the cruiserweights,
mm-hmm.
you know, they typically have to close down the pro wrestling tee shop. We saw that with Nakamura, with Gallows,
yeah,
with
Anderson.
I wonder if they're going to have Candice LeRae do that too, or Ricochet.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on where they get to. I'd imagine so. Chris Hero still has his, right?
Yeah.
I think it probably just depends on...
Maybe Ricochet will said, you know, I'll be Trevor Mann in NXT so I can keep my Ricochet shop open.
Maybe, but I mean, Suplex had to close down the Prince Devitt shop.
No, they just sold the Prince. They just had a Prince Devitt shirt.
Really?
Yeah, I think it sold out, though.
Oh, man, I want
within
some
the last 3
Prince
months.
Devitt
it's
stuff.
It's when I said Prince Devitt is real.
What the heck? Anyways.
We
have our own pro wrestling tee shop.
We do. I have one of our shirts on
hey,
right now.
I found this in the garage. My old Paige shirt, because she's back. And I want to support her emotional well-being because
yeah.
I don't think she can wrestle anymore. But I feel really bad about that.
Karen says here in chat, it seems they can keep their pro wrestling tee shop open until they get a WWE license shirt.
Oh, that's the key right there. Okay. Right on. Anyways, is that all of our plugs? Oh, look. Here's our shirts.
Oh, look at that. Works
now. It's back. The banner's back.
Awesome.
Look at all of our shirts. There's only one person bought, not to get in your space here, bought this one right there.
Yeah.
I love that shirt. But then, like, you know, if do you want, like, a Steven Larson on your chest area? You know what I mean? Like, some people might not want that.
Yeah. No, I understand.
I don't
that.
Know. I love
I'm,
that shirt
I'm
of just
surprised.
Your face.
I'm honestly surprised anybody bought that.
Somebody said that your face was on
that's
somebody.
The bar wrestling show over the weekend. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That
so
was cool.
We were there in spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's see here. Power ranking button works. We're using a new setup. For
yeah.
our podcast.
So far, anyways, it's going well, though.
Yeah. We're talking about, do I have any new designs here? No. I got to fix that font. Anyways, we're talking about Raw 25.
Yes.
We put up earlier today, I was going to say this once. We put up earlier today our breaking news video about Enzo Amore getting released by the WWE. If you want, I mean, we don't really have a take on it. It's so gross and like unseemly. I don't like talking about it. He's gone. Is he done?
Yeah.
He's gone. We're going to cut him out of the intro and everything.
Yeah.
And then, but we are going to talk, obviously, about what happens with the Cruiserweight
yes.
title at this point. They didn't really do much of the, they didn't do anything with the Cruiserweights.
No, from my understanding.
They had like a dark match at the Manhattan
Center.
They
had two untelevised matches at the Manhattan Center. From my understanding, one of them ended after 2 minutes in a no contest, or very quickly in a no contest.
Yeah, I heard that, really?
Yeah.
Gee,
well, and I guess it was after that people at the Manhattan Center started asking for refunds and whatnot.
Yeah, so let's talk about Raw 25. In general,
it's kind of an up and down show, hit or miss.
Yeah, it wasn't a great show, but it was fun. I kind of consider it just simply outside of canon. There was one massive crazy thing that happened that would have been like an insane Raw main event on any other show. I was totally wrong. Totally wrong.
Oh yeah, where's the crow for you to eat?
Load up that crow. Hopefully it's chocolate flavored because I love me some chocolate. Roman Reigns totally got pinned.
Yeah, he did.
In a clean-ish manner.
Yeah, they made a point of kicking, Miz Taraj was still ringside. But, you know, they even the ref made the effort to kick them out of ringside.
This is huge, and it was buried underneath the mountain of people talking about.
I was really surprised. This opened the second hour.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that when we get there, but I want to run some ideas past you in terms of what we saw. Like, that was abnormal. I don't think that was part of the plan, man.
What? Miz winning?
Him dropping his... No, I'm not saying there was a botch last night. I'm saying from when Roman won the Intercontinental Championship to what they have scheduled for him leading up to WrestleMania, this is really surprising for him to eat this pin in this manner.
No, I don't think it's that surprising.
Oh, I think it's very... We'll get to it when we talk.
I don't think it's indicative of anything. If you're trying to circle back to the reports last week, is that what you're trying to do?
I think that there's some questions there, man. I think there's some questions.
I don't know.
Earth might be flat, Larson. I think there's some questions.
Well, the Earth is definitely not flat.
All right, let's talk about it. So it kicked off.
I'll end with this.
No, don't end with it. We're going to talk about
match. Just section of the conversation. If Miz hadn't gone to shoot that movie, I don't think he ever would have lost the Intercontinental title.
I think Roman's not as golden as we think he is.
I think he's still pretty golden, though. In Vince's eyes, he's still pretty golden.
I don't know. We'll talk about it in a bit. Kicked off from the Manhattan Center. So they did this from two locations, which in retrospect seemed to be kind of a wonky idea.
Oh, it's a terrible idea in retrospect.
Well, here's the thing.
It's not
a terrible idea.
No,
Their execution was awful.
In retrospect, it was a terrible idea. The execution sucked. What they should have done, originally Raw, when it debuted, I believe, was an hour-long show.
Mm-hmm.
Do the first hour for the Manhattan Center.
Mm-hmm,
and then do something at the end to close the show.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Give the people who paid, from my understanding, several hundred dollars for their tickets.
Yeah.
Something special.
Yeah.
The first hour, they got one thing. They got The Undertaker.
In a really bizarre promo.
When I came over here, I was like, did you get the same interpretation of his promo that I did?
Yeah.
And you said, yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to make sure that wasn't the only one that took it that way.
J.S. Wooten here in chat has a good point. He says, I'm more and more convinced Daniel Bryan's coming back and he's coming for The Miz. I am like 79.
Oh, man, that was great when The Miz did his spin.
Yeah.
Usually points kind of somewhere in the crowd. He pointed right at Daniel Bryan.
I'm 79. I am 79% convinced Daniel Bryan's cleared.
Yeah.
I am so convinced he is cleared, dude.
Yeah.
He's coming. Telling you, he has been cleared. Telling you. Anyways, let's kick it off from the beginning.
What are you more sure of, Daniel Bryan being cleared or Roman not taking the pin before Mania?
Roman not taking the pin before Mania. Right. I was convinced.
Yeah, I know. Just Monday, you said 100%. I was like, no, there's a 10% chance it could happen.
I was thrilled. I was shocked. I had shock. I think I tweeted a shock face.
You did.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, let's kick. We'll talk about that when we get there. JR and the King were there at the Manhattan Center. I kind of enjoy semi-checked out Jim Ross.
Oh, there was this point later on. I'll look at this now because this made me laugh. When Balor Club was coming out, and the King said, who's this? But not in character. I think he actually had no idea who they were.
Oh, that's great.
And JR responded as if he was reading from his rundown of the show.
Yeah.
That's Balor Club.
Yeah.
There's a lot of little details that made me laugh throughout the show. This opening segment, when Vince had his beer,
mm-hmm.
and poor Shane selling that stunner, and Vince's beer was just pouring over, and Shane was getting covered with Miller Lite, and he was selling the stunner, so he couldn't move. You could tell he so desperately wanted to get out of the way of all that beer, because he was getting drenched.
Yeah.
That made me laugh.
That's good, man. That's good.
Anyways, carry on. Sorry.
Anyways, they're kicking off from the Manhattan Center, which was dolled up. They had an Ico Pro
banner.
That was fantastic. I'm telling you, they need to do... Look, man, here's my thing.
Do 205 Live in that venue.
Do 205 Live there, or even give us one Raw per year there. You know? Because it is like... And God bless that crowd. They were given peanuts, but by the end, they were eating it up. They were showing why that crowd really deserved to be rewarded the entire night.
Yeah.
Because they were into it by the end.
Do you see people, at least one and maybe two people wearing Ico Pro t-shirts?
Yes! There was a guy dressed up like Bobby Heenan, you know, when he was in disguise, like an old lady or something.
Yeah.
Oh, there were some. I tweeted this out. It looked like a 19. What year did it start? 1993.
Like
it looked like a 1993 audience.
And they lit it like it was
an
episode of Raw from 1993.
Oh, I loved it, man. I loved. They didn't go dark for Undertaker's entrance, all they did for DX.
And Bray.
Oh, I thought it looked amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a sucker for the 90s anyways
because
I'm old. But, oh, my God, I thought it looked great. Have one episode a year coming from there, man. It'd be great. Apparently, I don't know. I have no idea if this is true. But there's a rumor that the Peep Show was supposed to be from Manhattan Center. They changed that at the last minute. That would have been huge.
Yeah.
You know, put a couple more things over there.
I know.
Because it was a hot crowd. It was
Seth ended up there anyways.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah. Huh. It was a great crowd.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So Shane and Stephanie come down. They
cut a promo. Shane tosses to a video package, kind of a retrospective type deal of 25 years of Raw.
Mm-hmm,
Stephanie puts Vince over.
Mm-hmm, big time.
Introduces him. He comes out, massive pop. Everybody's singing along to his theme.
This was really good. They try to give him a plaque.
Yeah.
And he runs it down.
They said they had a GoFundMe page. And so we got you a plaque.
That's awesome.
And he takes offense to it.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, all I've done, this is my idea. I only have one person to thank. Me.
Me, Vince McMahon.
This is how you thank me?
Yeah.
This cheap plaque.
Oh, it was great. He's so old these days.
He pivots to heel Vince, Mr. McMahon, real quick. Oh, he runs down the crowd. He runs down Brooklyn, calls them cheap, I believe.
Yeah.
Glass breaks.
Oh, yeah.
It's stone cold.
Nobody in the history of man has gotten a pop like that. The glass breaking is so Pavlovian. It is so strong. People just immediately orgasm when they hear that glass break.
Yep.
It's amazing.
Yep.
And to this day, he looked like $1 million.
My only wish is that they let him talk.
Oh, I know.
Apparently, I didn't watch it yet, but he did a YouTube or WWE.com video where he cut a promo and it was really good. I haven't got a chance to watch it, but why not let him talk?
He was like the best talker of all time.
I know. One of the best mic guys of all time. You don't let him talk.
Yeah, I don't get it, man.
But he doled out some stunners.
Mm-hmm.
Vince was saying, hey, I'm old. I'm a senior citizen now. Don't stun me.
I like it. I'm a member of AARP now.
I know.
With a proud smile on his face.
I know.
I'm a member of AARP.
Talking about how his bones are brittle. He has a heart condition.
I have a heart murmur. I'm a member of AARP now.
But then he's like, Shane. Shane's in his prime.
Yeah. He's leaping off cages.
Yeah. Leaping across the ring.
Yeah. Oh, it was great.
So Stone Cold goes over, shakes Shane's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Raises his hand.
Yeah. Stunner.
Like everything's cool.
Yeah.
Stunner.
Stunner.
While that's happening, Vince grabs a couple beers.
Mm-hmm.
They cheers.
Mm-hmm. Hug.
Well, like Vince gets some beer on him. You can tell he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And like he has like this Joker type suit, the purple suit.
Yeah.
And he's getting beer all over him. You can tell he's kind of on edge about it.
Right.
They hug it out. Everything seems cool. Vince starts to walk away and he stops.
Mm-hmm.
Turns around, eats a stunner.
Yeah. He realizes that he's about to get stunned and he eats it.
Austin celebrates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chugging down beer.
Oh, hell
Shane
yeah.
gets back up. He gives Shane a beer. Seems like everything cool.
No. Stunner.
Stunner for Shane.
You dumb son of a bitch. This is the one time when the crowd totally justified in wetting somebody.
Yes.
Because Stone Cold was in the ring. Yeah, I am bummer they didn't let him do a promo. That is,
I know.
That was really weird. I mean, here's the thing. So, like, a lot of people, and we'll get to it when we get there, but, like, you know, the main event, the club versus what's-her-face is the Revival.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a two-minute match.
Yeah.
I feel like they kind of cut some of the stuff to get that longer.
Oh, I know,
and
I
then
know.
To let Steve talk, you know, Steve Austin talk.
I know.
So, like, next up, for example, we had this fairly meaningless match between...
Well, the what happened after the match was interesting, the most interesting part.
Yeah.
There was an 8-woman tag match. You had Alicia Fox, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, and Nia Jax.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's Sasha Banks, Bayley, Mickey James, and Asuka. It was fun. It was,
mm-hmm.
it was fairly chaotic.
Yeah.
A lot of brawling.
Yeah.
Alicia Fox tapped out the bank statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards, the face team, Sasha, Bayley, Mickey James, and Asuka, were celebrating in the ring. And Asuka proceeds to beat her teammates up and throw them over the top rope.
My favorite was when Sasha tried to give her the bank statement, and she just shrugged. She like held on the rope and shrugged her back.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
And the crowd was so into it.
Oh, they were into it big time. Does this mean Asuka's totally not going to win the Rumble?
No, she's winning.
You think so?
Yeah.
Our good friend, what's his name? Alfred Kanawa?
Yeah.
Kanawa? Yeah, at Forbes. Said that he thinks that means Ronda Rousey is definitely going to be showing up. I don't know, man. I don't think you want to do that. I don't think you want to, because that would steal all of Asuka's thunder.
Mm-hmm.
I think she needs to go over the Rumble.
Yeah, she does.
I just don't know. I mean, I think the only way you can legitimize her not winning the Rumble is to literally have all 29 women, but you're not going to have them all the same in the ring.
I know.
But 10 people giving her kind of the Nia Jax.
Yeah.
You know?
Eliminator, yeah. I know that's the only way you can do it, but still.
It's still going to be underwhelming. Like at that point, whoever wins is going to be underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, next up we had this Legends segment. Kurt Angle's backstage with a ref and he's saying, look, big deal, Raw 25. You got to make you 5'6", 180-pound ref guy. You need to make sure that Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, and Kane don't get things out of control.
I know.
What is this guy going to do?
Tall task.
Absolutely nothing.
So knock on the door. Kurt Angle says, come in. Mm-hmm. It's the coach.
Jonathan Coachman himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great to see him. Another knock. Harvey Whippleman in the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah, good to see them.
Another knock. Teddy Long.
He got a little music intro.
Another knock. Brother Love.
That was cool to see Brother Love. That was neat.
One last knock. The Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman. Double.
And then he takes some worms out of his mouth and put it in a Coachman's hand.
Yeah, that was pretty gross. I haven't watched the video, but I saw they did some video with the New Day and Boogeyman backstage.
Oh, yeah?
On WWE.com. Yeah.
Gotta check that out.
You gotta check. There's a lot of little videos like that I gotta check out. Did you see the video of Charlotte and Bobby Roode in the locker room? And Charlotte is wearing his blue robe and she's like begging him to be able to wear it. And he's like, no, I want my blue robe back. And she's like, please, Bobby. It's legitimately one of the most charming things.
Yeah.
She is so flippin' charming and they have such great chemistry.
Yeah.
And like a bunch of people in the comments are like, wait, are they an actual couple? Cause they act like it. They it feels like there's like actual chemistry between them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, God, why don't they just let people be people?
I know.
Instead of scripting everything.
I know.
Do?
I know.
Because it's so great.
I know. All these mixed match challenge promos are great.
Oh, it's been amazing. It's
I know.
Been fantastic. Whoever pulled the trigger on that idea should be in a freaking raise.
I know. Next, back at the Manhattan Center. We won't be saying that for quite a bit longer.
Yeah.
The King and JR introduce an Undertaker retrospective video package. That was neat.
Lord of Darkness.
Yeah.
Undertaker.
Yeah.
and then he came out.
The Undertaker came out. No fanfare for his intro.
Yeah.
He just walked through the curtain.
I mean, he was not wearing a trench coat and hat because those are still gone.
Yeah.
He was wearing an alternate.
It was more like mid-90s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he had like a hood. It was like a hoodie, like a demon hoodie type thing. Then he cut a really weird promo.
He did you notice if he was still limping? It looked like he might have still had a limp.
Oh, dude, I don't know. He looks so old and done. I can't believe that he's going to wrestle at WrestleMania.
I'd be very surprised.
Me too. Like, he doesn't move right.
No.
It's a bummer.
Anyways, yeah, he cut a promo. At first kind of celebrating 25 years of Raw.
Right.
His role in it.
Yeah.
And then from there, it was a little bit confusing.
He said, to all the fallen souls that have been with us for 25 years, you now finally can rest in peace.
But before that, he was talking about beating Stone Cold.
Yeah, he talked about beating a lot of people.
Yeah, then he went right to that.
Yeah.
There was no segue.
Yeah, I don't know. It was a mess, dude. I wonder if you like forgot a chunk.
Maybe.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, it's... I would think it's a bit jarring. It's one of those things where, like, if I was, for example, in a play and I had to rehearse some lines that I memorized, it'd be more difficult to do in front of my family than it would be in front of, like, you know, 500 people. Because, and similarly with, like, the Manhattan Center, like, you're there and it's, like, bright as day.
Oh, you can see every person.
Everybody is staring at you,
yeah,
as opposed
yeah.
to, like, a sea of, like, 10,000.
Yeah, and I think at the arena shows, usually you can only see past, what, the first five, six,
right,
seven
exactly,
rows,
maybe. Right, exactly, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
into the very first couple of rows of the lower deck.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It's kind of, you know, one person says one thing at the Manhattan Center and you can just hear
it.
Oh, I
know,
what
yeah.
I mean? So yeah, it was kind of weird. I don't really know how
I mean, there's a lot
it.
Of speculation. I think a lot of people were expecting some Undertaker John Cena
yeah.
thing kicking off whatever Mania program might be happening. We got
yeah.
none of that.
Yeah.
Cena showed up later. Undertaker did his promo.
Mm-hmm.
Crouch was chanting one more match.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't seem to acknowledge.
Right.
Finished his promo. Took off.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, because here's my thing also. How great would it have been? I even think that, like, the Elias Cena stuff, or just Cena should have been at the Manhattan Center.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, that crowd would have eaten him alive, and he would have loved every second of it. Because, you know,
oh, man, imagine that whole Elias Cena thing there. It'd been
right.
great.
He would have, and because the crowd would have been so firmly behind Elias, that would have been so much fun because Cena is the best. You look at that old ECW One Night Stand from 2006, I think, or 2005?
2006, yeah.
Okay. And that the crowd was, you know, F.U. Cena, stuff like that. It was
he was
beautiful.
Playing into it.
And that was like, yeah, he was playing into it. But imagine now, like even now, he knows way more how to do
yeah,
that
yeah,
than
yeah.
he did back then. Back then, I don't know, back then he was kind of shook.
A little bit shook. He managed to improvise fairly well.
No, he did. He kept his bearings, which is obviously a new thing for him.
Yeah.
if he was in that situation now,
oh, he would just revel in it.
Oh, it would be so. I would love to see John Cena do one show at PWG. Mm-hmm. It'll never happen.
No.
How much would you love to see that?
That'd be fantastic.
That crowd would just, they would alternately adore him and just want to shut him down. Mm-hmm. And he would take that challenge in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah. It'd be so much fun.
I know. It'd be great. Next, the APA playing cards backstage with Slater and Rhino. Slater losing all his money.
This card game turned into a clown car. With like, just they just started packing so many people into it.
I know. After that hand, a new person stepped at the table.
Big wad of cash.
Ted DiBiase.
Ha, 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 ha. He had that $1 million belt. Ted DiBiase, man, I'm starting to come around on the idea that he was number one on my list of guys who should have been WWF champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
he was going to be. They gave him the option.
I know. The strength of his gimmick. He was the perfect guy to hold that title as a heel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know Roddy should have got it too.
Mm-hmm.
Still think it should have been DiBiase number one.
It's interesting. Thought about this the other day. How WWE kind of did the opposite of what the NWA did when
right,
Flair was at top.
Where bad guy would always have it.
Yeah, the heel always having the title, but the money was made with the good guys chasing after the belt and trying to vanquish the bad guy. And WWF did the opposite.
Yeah,
you know, they had Hogan as their top face for years and years and years, and constantly finding new heels to challenge the belt, ultimately, for Hogan to come out on top.
I wonder what Vince's philosophy was behind that, because ultimately, you know, proved right.
Yeah.
You know. Let's see here. Monday Night Raw GM. Oh, yeah. They said, here's the most legendary Monday Night Raw GMs we've seen. Although there was no anonymous Raw GM.
I know.
There was no keyboard, or a laptop, rather.
Yeah.
We got Johnny Laurinaitis, Johnny Ace.
Yeah.
We got William Regal. Of course, he got a wonderful NXT chant.
Yes.
My favorite, Eric Bischoff. We are in control. No good?
No.
No good.
Not a fan.
And then Daniel Bryan came out.
Yeah. He's never been Raw GM, though.
No, he has not been. Now, I know. I mean, if they brought him out, why don't they bring out Vicky Guerrero?
I know.
She's like one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, I think they just brought him out so he and The Miz can have a little bit of interaction because...
So that was great.
The Miz came out right as Daniel Bryan concluded his yes chance. Taunted him. They got each other's face.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Miz went down the ring to challenge for the Intercontinental title.
Yes.
Against champion Roman Reigns.
This was interesting. So I'm not going to... So Roman Reigns ended up... So the Mistourage was at ringside. They eventually get ejected from ringside. They don't really leave. Reigns kicked out of one skull-crushing finale because they had distracted Reigns.
Yeah.
He kicks out of that. The Miz is able to evade. What did Roman go for here when he
put
that
kind of a spear type thing?
Okay, all right.
But the Miz got out of the way, and earlier on, the Miz, while the ref was dealing with Reigns and the Miztourage, Miz went over to the second turnbuckle, took the pad off.
Yeah.
So when the Miz evaded Reigns' move, Reigns hit his head on the exposed turnbuckle. Miz followed up a skull-crushing finale, got the three count.
I was stunned.
Yeah.
Stunned.
Yeah.
Did not see that coming.
Oh, I know that.
We saw Roman Reigns get pinned on the road to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Well, not quite the road, but his road anyways.
Yeah. I mean, his road to this WrestleMania started the day after last year's WrestleMania.
So there's a couple takeaways from this. Number one, I really, really love that this is a strong, strong booking for The Miz.
Oh, yeah.
Really strong, and I'm really happy to see that.
Same.
There does feel like there's some amount of, like you said... If Miz hadn't left to film that movie, he probably never would have dropped the title. I kind of agree with that. I also think that they might have had plans for...
Here's, I think, the larger issue, as opposed to, you know, not Reigns, you know, being implicated in the steroid thing. I think the Shield reunion falling apart because of injury is a much larger issue.
I was about to say
whatever plans they may have had than anything else.
The Shield, Dean getting injured, and the Shield not being around to propel to help Roman Reigns get over, I think threw everything asunder. I'm just really surprised that they went this route. He looked so, I don't know, he looked weak. I'll put it this way. It's off from the pattern we've seen.
Oh, yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Because we've seen a definite pattern with Roman Reigns where you can throw the wall at him. You can throw everything at him, and he'll kick out of it. That's been his thing.
Yeah.
And this is an exposed turnbuckle, and then and two skull-crushing finales is enough?
Yeah.
That's great for The Miz, but that's weird. In my opinion, that's just weird.
I mean, that's why they kind of... put this match just to kick off the second hour of the show, so by the time the show was over, he kind of more or less forgot about it.
That's weird, though. This is Roman Reigns. The spotlight's on him, man.
This wouldn't be the first time that he was supposed to be in the spotlight and they push him to the background. His first run with the title, after he got it from Sheamus,
yeah,
like 2 or 3 weeks, he was playing second fiddle to Dean.
To Dean, I know.
Because they were hoping that Dean would help get him over.
I know, but at this point,
no, I understand.
After all we've been through with this,
they
need to have a plan and kind of. I mean, I know that things, you know, change, like the Shield. You know, nobody would have anticipated Dean getting injured and then them having to do the Shield thing with Jason Jordan, mm-hmm. which, by the way, I love.
Oh, he was great last night.
He was fantastic last night. It's bizarre to me that they would show us Roman Reigns getting pinned, because I honestly figured that we wouldn't see that again, mm-hmm. because you're building him up to be the Universal Champion.
Does this increase or decrease his odds of winning the Rumble?
I still think the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view is going to be where he gets his number one contendership.
If they're still
going to go with Roman Brock, I mean, I still feel like that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, if they want to hedge their bets, they could do this, have someone from Raw win the Rumble. Have people make a claim that, no, I should get that spot.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I'm advocating they do this. I don't want to do this. So the match at Elimination Chamber is for the number one contender, even though someone from Raw wins the Rumble.
Yeah.
I don't know how they would justify it.
Oh, I don't know if they'd put, I mean, given how they treat SmackDown, that's a possibility. But I don't know. I think it's still Nakamura's to lose, probably. Or Randy Orton.
Finn Balor.
Orton. Hey, if I don't know, man. You see him standing tall with Triple H last night.
How badly do you feel like Triple H wants Finn to be the guy?
Oh, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it.
Last night was pretty much Triple H saying, this guy should be top guy.
I know. I agree.
Closing that segment with raising his hand.
I know. Oh, man. And you know what? I agree with him.
Same here. Finn Balor is real.
Janky low. Oh, man. Anyways, next up we had more poker with the APA.
This time MVP.
Yeah, he was there.
At the table.
Cool. Good for him.
The Usos were there, as was Jeff Hardy.
That was a weird place for him to show back up.
I know.
Yeah. Did you see he did something with Matt in the ring?
Yeah, I saw the video for that, yeah.
Yeah. More shenanigans there. Next up we had Christian's Peep Show. It was a bummer that Edge wasn't there.
I know.
Definitely a bummer. But we had Christian's Peep Show.
Future Hall of Famer Christian.
Yeah, we'll see about that. In the ring with him, or you know, his guests were Jason Jordan and Seth Rollins.
Jason Jordan stole this whole segment.
He really did.
He is fantastic.
And Seth's reactions are so beautiful.
He kept doing this last night.
He immediately just has this look of, utter embarrassment.
I know.
Utter embarrassment.
He's doing this like he's yeah. He's having heart palpitations or something.
As soon as Jason Jordan opens his mouth, contrary to what you people think, my dad does not suck. Oh, it's great. His performance is fantastic.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. So, anyways, they do a little bit of that stuff, and even Christian's sitting there like, oh,
I feel like
he's
Seth
so cringy.
Was on the verge of laughing the whole time.
I know. You have to think that he totally is on the humor on it.
I know.
Because it is absolutely hilarious.
Jason Jordan did a great job of playing against that crowd.
Yeah.
As they booed him.
Yeah.
It was great. The bar comes out. So, of course, they start fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Jordan, I think, has got Cesaro, I think, or Sheamus, held. Seth goes for a knee.
Oh, he had Cesaro held.
Cesaro gets out of the way, so Seth inadvertently knees Jason Jordan in the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The segment closes.
Yeah. Next up, we had an Alexa Bliss interview, which is interrupted by Charlotte Flair, mm-hmm. who is at least double her height.
Yeah.
She is tall compared to Alexa Bliss. I mean, to see him side by side is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway, Charlotte said, to be the woman, to paraphrase my dad, Alexa, to be the woman, you got to beat the woman, and you haven't beat me before, but you can hear it straight from his mouth.
And he comes into frame.
Style and profile.
Yep.
Yeah, and then they both do woos, and you can see Charlotte is the most charming individual on the planet, I swear. Anyways, next up, more poker with the APA. Titus Worldwide joined them, and Natalya joined them, and she went. So the running gimmick is Heath Slater keeps on getting like decent hands and keeps on losing to better hands.
Yes.
So, yeah, that happened. Natalya had
I didn't keep track of the winning hands, unfortunately.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Like, what it was, a straight with like a, it was a queen of hearts.
was like her big card.
Oh.
Yeah, so whatever it was, full house.
Was it a flush?
Flush, then royal flush. It was a royal flush.
No, it's not a royal flush because queen is not the high in a royal flush.
No, it was a flush then. Queen high, queen of hearts.
Yeah, it's just all the same
suit. There you go. Next up, we had Bray Wyatt versus Matt Hardy at the Manhattan Center.
It's cool they got that match at least.
Yeah, they got that. Bray won clean.
Yeah, kind of surprising. I guess they're – but Matt Hardy on Twitter said that after this match that he's going back to the Hardy compound.
Oh, there we go.
So
– I'm okay with that then. I'm going to get Bray a win.
If it's part of a larger story, yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm cool with that. Next up, we had
– the introduction at Barclays. They had a bunch of former women's wrestlers walk out onto the ramp. Bella Twins.
Yes.
Maryse.
Mother.
I didn't know she was that far along.
She is pregnant.
And then Miz was saying that the baby's due around WrestleMania time.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Ew, willikers.
So he said he had like a private plane at the ready.
Oh, that's cool.
So he said if he has to miss WrestleMania to be there, he's going to miss WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome to hear.
That is
that's
awesome.
That's great. Kelly, Lillian Garcia, Jacqueline, Tori Wilson, Michelle McCool, Terry Reynolds, Maria Kanellis, and Trish Stratus.
No Lita.
Nope.
She was apparently on the little seat cushion for the front row seats. Her image was on it. And she tweeted out, man, at least she said, I wasn't on the guest list, but at least I made the chair.
Yeah.
I hope that just means that they're like keeping her for the Rumble, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
That's my hope, too.
I really hope so.
I know.
I mean, she seems a bit more likely than Trish Stratus to be in the Rumble.
Yeah, I think Trish just had a baby, too.
Okay,
recently.
Yeah. So hopefully there's a reason for that. Next up, this was great. Elias backstage runs into Chris Jericho wearing his Alpha Club shirt.
I know.
Oh, man.
So good.
I loved it. And they did like also a WWE.com video with Mike Rome and Top Phillips also. And it's
so good.
It's great, man. God, he's so flipping good, man. And it's just, there's this aura about Chris Jericho where he seems like that he's the happiest guy in whatever room he's in.
He knows he can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants, and that's a glorious feeling.
Yep. So he asks Elias to borrow his guitar. Elias says, no. Right, Jericho says, that's okay. I brought one of my own.
Yeah.
He produces said guitar.
Yeah.
Starts singing a song, which culminates in him teasing that he's going to put Elias on the list.
You're on the list.
And then he laughs and says, nah, it's fine. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
And he goes, nope. You just made the list.
Yep.
Clicking that pin.
Yeah, exactly.
And he says, all your scarves, they're on the list too.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So anyways, that led to an Elias promo. Again, I feel like this really should have been at the Manhattan Center. This had all the makings for something that should have been at the Manhattan Center.
Talks trash about Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Talks trash about John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
In song form. Oh, Jimmy Fallon was ringside.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he pointed him out, sang a song, a little blues number, talking garbage. Cena comes out, some back and forth. Cena says,
Elias is upset that he interrupted him.
Cena says,
do something
about it. Yeah. Takes his shirt off, which you know he means business at that point.
Yep.
And Elias has like one of the best faces.
His facial
reactions are fantastic.
It's the best. It's the absolute best.
And he just kind of says, no.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
Don't think I will.
Waits till Cena turns around, attacks him. He's about to eat an AA. He escapes. Low blow.
Yeah, man.
Breaks the guitar over Cena's back.
Like somebody's been watching like Best of Yano compilations or something. Because we got a low blow. We got the turnbuckle exposed from the Miz and Roman Reigns.
No one's ankles were taped up like his match against Kenny Omega, though.
Yeah, that's true. Need more of that.
Yeah, we do.
No one's
trying to sell DVDs.
Elias kind of went over here, man.
Yeah,
he broke that guitar over Cena's back.
Which means Cena's playing eliminated at the Rumble.
Probably. And then Cena got hit with a drift away.
Yeah, man.
I love that drift away.
One final bit backstage with APA playing poker. This time the New Day were there. And I believe it was during this segment, that Heath Slater was accused of cheating by Titus O'Neil, which led to a match.
Yes. So I get that this match was meant, and then after that we had Mark Henry and the Godfather backstage. This time, instead of having, you know, a victim of sex trafficking Godfather instead had a wife.
Well, they kind of addressed the
this. Yeah, and yeah, they did. They did yeah. in a very good way.
Yeah, they did.
It's a, he said Mark Henry said something along the lines of, you know.
Well, I mean the Godfather made reference to Mark Henry's previous gimmick, and Mark Henry says, you know, hey, we all grow up.
We all grow up at the different era we're in now.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then Mark Henry introduces himself to what ended up being Godfather's wife. And the Godfather says, no, this is my wife.
Yeah, exactly.
And he says, like you said, we all grow up.
Yeah. And then Mark Henry just had this really wonderful look of like realization on his face. And it just got me thinking.
Oh, I know. Then, why didn't they give him a proper send-off like if he is retired?
I understand. Well, here's the thing. I understand that he still wrestles one or two or three shows a year, like for special circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. But the WWE has a tradition of, you know, retirement speeches, and not everybody gets them.
Well, we saw his one retirement speech,
which was amazing.
Oh my gosh,
which was
it was
great,
just amazing.
Yeah, it was fantastic, but it was part of an angle.
Yeah, I know. Nonetheless, it was great.
Maybe, hey, maybe when he goes to the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah,
because he definitely,
yeah, he deserves
definitely
to be
in the Hall of Fame. And we'll get like a proper speech from him. Cause I understand that there's a murky area when he's still kind of retired, when he's like semi active.
Yeah.
You know, do you really want to say this is the last time? Then he still comes back here and there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally get that. Whatever the case, he deserves a goodbye to the fans. He deserves recognition.
Yes.
Cause me, and on top of that, when you just see him, he always had so much damn personality.
Oh, I know.
And I feel like, I don't know. I know he was world heavyweight champion. I get that. But man, I don't know. I just feel like maybe he could have done more, or maybe they could have done more with him because he was so good with whatever
he
did.
He was. Yeah, I was always a Mark Henry fan.
Yeah.
Next, we got Titus Worldwide taking on Heath Slater and Rhino. This match barely got started before we went to commercial break, came back from commercial break, and everybody's just fighting. Ref calls off the match. Dudley's come out.
Yeah.
So both teams exit the ring. Mm-hmm. Dudley's are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Heath Slater's trying to get everybody hyped up enough to go in there and take on the Dudleys, and everybody, including his own tag team partner, says, nope. And they all just toss Slater back in the ring. He takes a what's up, takes a 3D through a table.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great, man.
It was great. I did like that Corey Graves said Dudley's going to give it the time. It's Dilly Dilly now.
I was about to
Michael
say
Cole and Booker T were laughing at that, too.
Oh, that I know. Was great. It was great. Oh, my favorite, dude. My favorite was when Booker T said, he said something along the lines of, I don't know, man. I don't roll with teams. I'm a solo guy. And Michael Cole just started bursting out laughing. He says, you're with Harlem Heat. That was a long time ago, man.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, man. Oh, Booker T is the best.
He is.
I don't know, man. I don't roll with teams. Here with Harlem Heat, man. Oh, that was great.
Oh, that's so good.
I love that Rhino was the one like instigating the Heath Slater, you know, because he wants to toughen him up.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, the Dudley boys are like good friends of his.
Yeah,
because
he's
ECW
like the first
days.
Thing he does when he gets in the because afterwards, Titus Worldwide and Rhino get in the ring, and the first thing Rhino does is go up to D-Von and shake
exactly.
His hand.
They start hugging and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. It was I love that stuff.
Next, AJ Styles interview starts with Charlie, and he says, I'm sorry, Charlie, but
no offense.
I found someone to do this interview, and it's Mean Gene.
Yeah, this is the first time that I've ever seen Mean Gene where he actually looks older than he did back in 1986.
I know.
Up until now, he had looked like exactly the same way he did back then. Yeah, he looks old, but yeah, he still has his voice, and he's still with it, so good for him.
I was kind of disappointed they
didn't
utilize AJ for something a little bit more significant.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I mean,
why wasn't he there for the... I mean, I understand kind of why he wasn't there, but he probably should have been there for the whole DX Balor Club thing, yeah?
He's 75. I agree totally. I thought he was going to come out at the end or something. But again, I think that's just Triple H saying, this is our guy.
This is my guy right here.
Oh, man. Let's see here.
That takes us to the DX reunion.
Would you like AJ invoking Hulk Hogan?
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. Oh, man. Yeah, that led to back to the Manhattan Center. DX came out, their full entrance. It cracks me up, dude, to see Triple H. I just don't. He's not the DX guy. He cannot convince me that he's DX guy
anymore.
Well,
he mentioned that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
When Shawn Michaels is trying to, you know, Shawn Michaels like now doesn't do that kind of stuff that he was referencing back in 97
Yeah, they were doing.
I mean, he doesn't even crotch chop now.
Right.
But Triple H saying, no, this we don't do that anymore.
Well, I like HBK saying, you know, there was a time when I was the boss of this outfit.
Yeah,
now you're the boss of everything.
Yeah.
That got a great chuckle out of the crowd. I don't know why the Vince voice there. But no, it's just funny to see him come out in his DX costume.
Oh, I know.
Because the suit, to me, is his outfit now, you know? And it's he's proven to be such a savvy wrestling mind for the business. Mm-hmm. And we're all, I think, deep down kind of itching for the day when he does fully take over because we love NXT so much and it's such his brainchild or his, you know, his thing that it's hard to reconcile the two. Like it's just sort of these days it kind of feels like he's cosplaying.
Well, I mean, he has like three different roles now. He has, you know, well, four. He has, he's Paul Levesque.
Mm-hmm.
Was it executive vice president, whatever his role is.
Yeah.
He has on-screen authority, Triple H in suit. He has Golden Shuffle Triple H.
Yeah.
And then he has DX Triple H.
Yeah.
He's got to play four different roles.
Yeah, totally. So anyways, a great DX re-hit. So first it kicked
Triple
off.
Triple H's promo was fantastic, too.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was great.
It was really good.
It was it single-handedly got the Manhattan Center. There was like one guy who said, we won refund. And everybody's just shut up. Yeah. They're out here now.
It seemed genuine, impassioned, good stuff.
Yeah, the people were really into it. HBK had some good stuff, and they said, but we don't come alone.
Well, no, first, also, Triple H said, you know, we got to give a shout-out to two other people.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Rude.
Oh, ravishing Rick Rude.
And the ninth wonder of the world, China.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was fantastic. Again, now, you get on Google, you look up China WWE, as we saw during the Friendo Awards, it's no longer the first page of pornography.
No.
So that's out. Get her in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. So yeah, then they said, we didn't come alone. Oh, you didn't know?
No, dude. That was the least effective, oh, you didn't know. I was like, what happened to his voice? Because it was more like, oh, you didn't know. It was really half-hearted. And I'm sure there's a reason for it. I'm sure maybe he was either nerves or he was an awkward space that he was in or something.
Or he's just getting up there in years.
That could be, but I don't know. Because the rest of his promo when he got out there was great. It was exactly like it used to
nerves.
Be. It was just, oh, you didn't know. It was more like a legit question. So yeah, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn come out. Billy Gunn still looks the exact same as he did back then. And then they cut a promo and they introduce X-Pac.
Yeah.
Who looked great.
Yeah.
And the crowd gave him the 1-2-3 chant.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. So yeah, they're all out there. And then he says, you know, it wouldn't be a click reunion without
this. Well, he said he might not have been a DX.
Right, yeah, yeah,
you,
yeah.
You know, we can't have a reunion out here without this guy.
Yeah, and then Scott Hall starts to walk out. I'm sorry, Razor Ramon starts to walk out, and they cut to commercial. Are you serious?
And they're back. He's in the ring. He said he can't have a party without the bad guy.
At least they didn't cut out, like, any of his promo stuff. I think they were just probably hugging and stuff. But, yeah, he said that I wish they would have given him a survey.
I know.
Let him do the survey. Like, cut out one of these matches that they had that we didn't need.
Yeah.
Cut out the, I don't know, something.
Yeah, give him a survey.
Give him a survey. Man, he was great, though.
Oh,
like, when he's sober, he's so good.
Oh, I know.
He's still so good.
That His second appearance on Stone Cold's podcast is still
fantastic.
Some of the best.
Oh, one of the best podcasts I've ever listened to.
Anyways, they're interrupted by Balor Club.
Yes.
They walk down the ring.
Who's that?
Oh, yeah, that's when
I'll tell you, King, that's a
My show notes here
Club.
Say it's Balor Club.
Apparently it's Balor Club. I'll tell you, they look like some of the guys I've seen in New Japan. Oh, wait. Anyways, Balor Club comes out, and they all do a big two sweet in the middle of the ring.
Yep.
That was awesome, and they're interrupted by the Revival.
Say yeah!
Say yeah! They came out, had an impromptu match. Well, I guess not impromptu.
No, it was booked in advance,
man.
Well,
a ref comes running out behind them.
Yeah, it was Kyoto in the old school 90s ref outfit with bow tie and all. It was great.
That was great. Anyways, it was a really short match.
Yeah.
And the club went over with the, what do they call it thing? Their
Magic
move.
Killer.
The Magic Killer, thanks. I just had Shatter Machine in my head, and I know that's Revival's.
That's Revival's finisher.
Yeah.
And then the Revival eats everybody else's finisher.
Yeah. X-Pac, man, he dropped that
X-Factor.
The X-Factor on what's-his-face, on Dawson or whatever, I don't know, one of the guys.
Yeah.
Looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. I just, like, there was a picture that he posted, like, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, X-Pac, he was ripped.
He was shredded.
Yeah.
He looked good, man. Good for him. Because dude, he looked like most likely to go down a certain dark path, you know? And then as he's explained, I think in the Stone Cold podcast, he was heading down that direction. And then, you know, he turned his life around, thank God. And, you know, the guy's clean now.
Yeah. That's
awesome. So, yeah, the revival, everybody's finished. Of course, everybody immediately starts saying, and with reason, because the Ascension got the same kind of treatment at Raw 1000. I think there's a massive difference there. And it's why I'm okay with the revival taking on this role. So my counter to everybody saying, oh, my God, they're burying the that was the big thing last night. I was on Twitter. And I said, I think the revival's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference. The Ascension.
Didn't they just get beat up by a bunch of part-timers? Or people,
they
or legends
exclusively
and part-timers?
Got beat up by part-timers.
So here's
legends.
The thing, at least the revival. I love the revival.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at least in this situation, they got defeated first in a match by a team that's active full-time and a team that really needed a win.
Months ago, people were saying, the club is buried. The club is buried. They're never going to recover from this. All these tweets that we get, they're never going to recover. And look at them now. They just, in the highest profile segment they had on one of the highest profile shows of the year, the club went over in a 2-minute match against the revival.
Yeah.
They're now with Balor. They're totally fine.
Yes.
You know, their wrestling has ups and downs. When people talk about the Ascension and they try to make this parallel between the Ascension and what happened to the revival, I definitely see the parallel there and the fear that all these revival fans have. I just think the Ascension, when they debuted on the main roster, they were instantly buried. They were dead and gone before Raw 1000. Yes. They came out and they did this thing where they started running down all these tag
classic
teams.
Classic tag teams.
That they were obviously, that their gimmick was inspired by. They start running them down. And the crowd reaction was zero. And then they started losing.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The revival, when the revival have been healthy, they win mostly.
Yeah.
Last week, and granted, it was probably just set up this week. Last week, they were able to cut a promo where Vince McMahon let them say the term professional wrestler. I mean, that's pretty big right there.
Yeah, that's pretty massive.
They're coming off two back-to-back injuries. And yes, they're going to take this kind of probably slow with the revival.
Yes, yes.
So I don't know. I think that there's a lot of worrying about nothing, to be honest with you.
It's not the end of the world for the revival. It'll be okay.
I really don't think
it is. The only thing I kind of wish, and I understand that there is time constraints, just make it more than 2 minutes.
Oh, the match should have been longer.
Yeah.
They should have gotten more of a
7-minute match.
I know.
Make it a little more competitive.
I know. But I also kind of consider Raw 25 not exactly the most canon.
Yeah,
of,
I know.
Of shows,
I mean, there's only four matches on the entire show.
Like, the Manhattan Center stuff, I kind of figure is like non-canon. But I don't know. I mean, look, it's wrestling. Could they bury the revival after this? Yeah, sure, they could. You know, I think that there's reason to be optimistic.
Sorry, there's five matches on the whole show.
Yeah, okay. I think there's reason to be optimistic about the revival at this point.
I was honestly surprised I got such an extended promo bit last week.
Yeah, I know, me too. And they squashed their opponents. Granted, they were local jobbers. But hey, guess who else squashes local jobbers? Braun Strowman and Asuka, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, man. I mean, like I said, wrestling is ups and downs. With the Ascension, hey, they're on TV every week. It's probably not the spot that they had hoped to get, but they have paying jobs.
Yeah.
And it's granted, that's definitely not what I want for the revival. I want the revival to be tag team champions. I want them to be in matches on the main card at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because we've seen them. They're the best wrestlers. You know, some of the best, they're one of the best tag teams in the world now.
Oh, yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is the WWE is a business and they're not going to put their money building a team when they do have a history. Granted, there might be some flukish injuries there, but
injuries nonetheless,
fluke or no.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, if they have an extended run where they don't get injured, I honestly think they'll be fine. They'll probably, you know, put the straps on them at some point. So,
and right now they kind of occupy a similar space that, Cesaro and Sheamus filled.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it remains to be seen how much longer Cesaro and Sheamus are going to be a team. It remains to be seen how much longer Sheamus is even be wrestling.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Neck
issues. They are absolutely primed to take that spot.
Yeah.
Now
that the club are kind of in a tweener role,
mm-hmm.
at least there's not that additional backlog.
Right, exactly.
Because for a while it was Sheamus and Cesaro, the club and the revival, all these heel kind of
hard knock heel guys.
Yeah,
that occupied.
But now
the
club's
space.
Kind of out of that situation. I imagine the bar, after Mania, is going to be out of the tag title
mm-hmm.
picture. There's going to be a huge opening for the revival to step up.
Yeah, absolutely.
In theory, show closes with Kurt Angle coming out, joined by pretty much everybody backstage, legends, Members of the Raw locker room, some members of SmackDown's roster as well.
Yeah,
they surround the ring. Braun comes out. Kane comes out. Brock comes out. They brawl.
Well, Paul Heyman cuts a promo,
oh, yeah,
too. Just, I don't know.
He did the fighter thing again, which
he
I
did
like.
The fighter thing, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, it was good the first time.
Yeah. So they all brawl. Brock hits Kane with an F5. Braun then throws Brock against the barricade. Power slams him through a table. Braun's the best.
Braun is the best. He's not going to win the Rumble, but, you know, it's cool.
It'd be cool if he lost the match, assuming Men's Rumble's main event, lost the Universal title match, went in the Rumble, won the Rumble.
Yeah, wins at WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns can...
I mean, because Braun, he might not win that match, but he's not eating a pin. Kane's taking that pin.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, it's going to be Daniel Bryan versus The Miz at WrestleMania.
Could be.
For the IC title.
That'd be cool.
I'm telling you, he's cleared.
Could be.
It's got to be cleared.
I mean, he also thought Roman Reigns wouldn't get pinned before Mania.
Is he cleared, yes or no?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I mean, based on the information I have, I have to say no.
Can't talk about the betting odds, huh?
No.
You think that's a... You think... Okay, we won't say specifically what's going on, but you know what I'm talking about. You think it's fan hysteria driving that? Because generally it's been inside info. You think it's fan hysteria?
Yeah, but they've really clamped down on that second half of 2017.
You think it's fan hysteria?
Maybe.
Maybe. Let's see here.
I would love to see it.
Yeah, me too. It's just, I think my only thing is that aspect of it, the betting odds aspect of it, is bizarre to me.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little weird, and it makes you pause.
No, agreed. Let's answer some questions.
Let's answer some questions. Member of AARP now.
Mike DiNopoulos. He poses the same question I posed to you later. So does this mean that Reigns wins the Rumble? Not necessarily. Alex Foster, what random character should be at Raw 50 in 25 more years?
Wait, what? Who?
What random character should be at Raw 50?
What random character?
Characters.
Characters?
Like what legends, previous WWE wrestlers should show up at Raw 50 in 25 more years.
25 years from now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Daniel Bryan.
Everybody who's on the roster right now.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman.
Yeah, Braun would be great.
Braun.
Brock Lesnar.
John Cena. How old is Cena? He's like our age, like 40, right? So he'd be 65.
Yeah.
He'll probably look the exact same.
Probably. Brock Lesnar.
Elias Samson.
Elias.
Elias.
He can sing a song. Great answer, Steve.
All great answers.
Daryl Takahashi, Power Rank. Kayfabe reasons Shane stayed in the ring during the Stone Cold segment.
Well, I mean, to make sure his dad's okay.
Well, at first he thought he was cool. He got the handshake, thought he was good.
Yeah, that's if he did that thinking like, oh, I'm good to go now. I'm not gonna.
I mean, he should DTA. He should not trust anybody. Shane.
Definitely, yeah. Don't trust anybody, man.
But he did and ate a stunner.
Yeah.
I kind of wish, though, he could have rolled out of the ring to sell the stunner when his dad was inadvertently pouring beer all over him.
I was a bummer that they didn't, like, convulse more. That was always my favorite.
That was always Vince's thing.
That was Vince's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just falls like a bag of rocks when he sells the stunner.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, in my mind, you know, the preeminent sellers of the stunner are The Rock, Scott Hall, who always do, like, at least a jump.
Yeah. Yeah,
in Rock's case, at least one flip.
Oh, the flip was great. Alex C.
Scott Hall sell the stunner is very underrated, though.
Oh, I agree with that.
It's
great. It's because there's a whole cloud over that entire program.
Yeah,
that's why nobody.
But
really...
sell of that stunner at Mania was fantastic.
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, Power Rank now from Alex C.
Yeah.
All the members of D-Generation Balor.
Power rank them.
Power rank them.
Well, what's the criteria? Is there our typical criteria being good, legacy, and kayfabe?
Yeah. I would say club is at the bottom. I'm talking about the two clubs.
Gallows and Anderson, bottom. But who's one?
Who's number one?
It's got to be HBK.
No.
He's the greatest in-ring performer of all time.
It's either Triple H or Balor. Okay, power rank in terms of like who the best ones are?
Yeah.
Via our criteria?
Yeah, it's HBK. Criteria is being good. HBK is the best wrestler in-ring all time.
I think this question is like, what's the pecking order? If we're talking pecking order, who's top of the pecking order?
I mean, based on how things went last night, it's Triple H.
Triple H is the boss of everything.
Yeah.
But then below him is Balor.
It's Balor, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if in terms of our usual criteria, being good, legacy, and kayfabe.
Oh, our criteria.
In which case, it's HBK, Triple H, Balor, New Age Outlaws Club.
Well, X-Pac then Club.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
No, I put X-Pac above New Age Outlaws. Maybe.
Oh, really?
X-Pac won a lot of belts.
Yeah, he did. He was the 1-2-3 kid.
He was.
All right. I think we're in agreement on what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It depends on the criteria.
Yeah.
That's when I get an understanding of that.
Yeah. Foxy the Foxy Fox. Hey there, friendos. All in all, in the end, at the end of the day, was Raw 25 really worth the wait? Should it have been a normal show? No, man, celebrate it. You know, I mean, they did this to show to jack their ratings up,
yeah,
to help them in their TV negotiations. Anytime you get to celebrate some crappy nostalgia, I'm
yeah,
for
fine,
it.
Yeah, it's fine.
It breaks up the monotony of the week to week.
Aaron G, power rank, possible opponents for Cena at Mania. Let me, okay, Taker's number one.
Dude, okay, no,
everything
man.
That's going to happen. Number two, Elias.
I
give
don't,
us Elias
I don't,
Cena at Mania.
Yeah, that's my number one, man. Taker's not even on my list. I don't
no,
know.
If once I want, no, absolutely not.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah, Elias number one.
Elias number one.
Two, Samoa Joe if he gets healthy in time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, Samoa Joe.
If we knew Samoa Joe would be healthy, he might be number one.
Yeah, and if I knew Samoa Joe would win.
Three.
I'll have a rematch with The Miz at number three.
Four, AJ Styles.
Oh, okay.
For the WWE title, but with the caveat
a great match.
That AJ wins.
AJ wins, win. Yeah. And then five.
I really hope when they give Cena his record-breaking title reign, they make a story out of it. Make him struggle a little bit. Don't just give it to him.
Man, that fool is not in any stories anytime. He's not going to be in any story.
Matt, you know, when he beat AJ when he tied the record, it was so underwhelming because there was no build to it.
Yeah, I know. He will not have another build.
And then he had that belt off him a month later.
There will not be another Cena story. He'll show up. Whoever has the title is going to be a heel. He'll say,
you have something that belongs to me.
I want to break the record. He's literally going to say that.
I know. Liam Wagner, which arena would you rather been in, Barclays Center or Manhattan Center?
Oh, man.
I think I would rather
you don't
be
want
in
to
Barclay.
Be, yeah, dude, you don't want to be with a crowd that's just chanting, we want refunds. That's humiliating. The Mighty Quinn with Miz winning back the Intercontinental title. We've already power ranked too much already. So I'm just going to ask you, who should be his opponent at WrestleMania 34?
He might not be at WrestleMania if his child is being born.
That's right, yeah. Do you think they're going to give him a softer build then? They're not going to really give him a real build?
I don't know.
Did he say what her due date was?
He just said around WrestleMania.
Jeez. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I'd love to say Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Because that he's cleared.
But if the odds for the Rumble are correct, then Daniel Bryan wouldn't be in that match.
I'm telling you, man, they're going to do what we're probably going to do.
Maybe.
DB wins it, and he goes after the title that he had to give up.
Could be.
The IC title.
Could be.
It'd be great. Oh, what a great question from Jose GGR. What would be more beneficial for match parity? More submission finishes or more finishes with non-finisher moves?
That.
Yeah, man. I'm on board with what you're talking about. Non-finishing moves.
Yeah.
As finishers.
It makes finishers more special.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of power rank ones, so I'm trying to...
Well, you can do power rank questions, but just don't have them be power
ranks. All right, well, I skipped a few. Blake Whitehouse, with all the momentum Braun has right now, where does he go after Lesnar pins Kane on Sunday? So what's next for Braun at Mania, assuming that he is not going to be vying for the Universal title?
Oh, there's my next opponent for Cena also, Braun.
Yeah,
Braun he needs the Cena rub. He needs to beat Cena.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
Because that's like a big title.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Cena. But it's probably not. I mean, there's no indication they're going to go that way.
I don't even know who to be against.
Man, Cena can't take it. The Undertaker can't wrestle again.
No, he shouldn't.
He really shouldn't.
Mm-mm.
So old. It's not even really that he's so old. He just acts and looks so old.
He looks like he's uncomfortable. Like he's in pain constantly.
He always looks like he's in pain.
I don't want to see someone wrestle when they look like they're already in pain before the match starts.
I know. It's not good.
It's not good. This is an interesting question. Kyle Steven, do you think Y2J was approved by Vince to wear his Alpha Club shirt last night live on TV, or do you think he changed it into it before the cameras rolled? I think he showed up at the arena wearing that.
Yeah.
And no one told him to take it off, and so he wore it.
I will guarantee you. Vince.
Oh, he said there's other pictures of him backstage with a gray shirt on.
Oh, that's interesting. I guarantee you Vince will let Y2J. He says, you've got my complete and total trust.
Yep.
You can do whatever you want.
I think Vince realizes that Jericho going to New Japan, or at least I'm pretty sure Triple H realizes this, Jericho going to New Japan boosts the profile of Jericho.
That's the Jericho's best for the WWE. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Oh, man, absolutely. Karen asks, did Neville ever get his 205 Live rematch after dropping the belt to Enzo?
No, I don't think he did. Or did he? Did they have a match on a pay-per-view? A rematch? Or on 205 Live? I don't think he did.
Wasn't he supposed to, wasn't the match that he walked out of, wasn't that supposed to be his rematch?
Yeah, him losing.
I think that was supposed to be his rematch.
Luke Mahoney, hey friendos, last night we saw a lot of finishers doled out, so my question
is... there was a second part to her question.
Sorry.
She says, how would you book Neville's return to 205
Rumble.
Live?
Rumble.
Yeah, he wouldn't be on 205 Live.
No, Rumble. Luke Mahoney, last night we saw a lot of finishers doled out, so my question is, if you could be on an episode of Raw and have a legend hit you with their finisher, who would it be and how would you sell it?
Oh, Steve Austin. And I would just, you know, I would do a bunch of like, you know, I would go into a complete spasm, like electric shock.
It's got to be the stunner. That looks like the most fun to sell.
Oh, absolutely, man.
With the least possible damage being done to yourself. Mm-hmm. Looks like a pretty safe move to sell.
Yeah.
All you do is land on your knees.
Yeah. Broken Steve does want to ask this. How will they crown a new cruiserweight champion?
Well, it depends if they want to determine the new champion at the Rumble. And I kind of wish they... I don't know if they're going to do this. I hope so. They'll do a mini tournament on 205
ladder
Live.
Ladder match at the Rumble.
Or that, yeah.
Ladder match.
Or do a mini tournament on 205 Live tonight.
Well, here's the thing they're going to have to do.
But they only got a half hour.
I know.
So no mini tournament.
No, here's my thing. They can't do any of that stuff. They gotta have a tournament to see who's going to fight Cedric.
Yeah.
Because Cedric's the number one contender. He needs to fight somebody for that. He can't go. He can't be, you know, oh, you're number one contender. You're about to get your match. Now you have to go through a tournament.
Yeah, no.
He's got to have a bye to the finals.
I like tournaments.
Huh?
I like tournaments.
Oh, no. I'm saying have a tournament. Just have it to face Cedric.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whoever wins the tournament faces Cedric.
Yeah, yeah. I just worry that they're going to feel like they need to have that Cruiserweight title match at the Rumble, in which case they don't have time for a tournament, unless they just have like a fatal four-way or something on 205
they
Live
have,
this week.
They have 30 minutes tonight as their go-home.
Yeah.
And then maybe something on... Oh, yeah, no.
No, they have 30 minutes.
They have nothing!
Nope.
Whoa!
Yep.
I wonder if they're just going to pull the trigger on Drew, you know? Just say, Drew, you're technically the head of the Zoe... of what used to be called the Zoe Train.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be called that anymore.
Oh, my God. What are they going to do?
I have no idea.
Are there writers at their typewriters right now?
I would hope so. Well, I'd hope once news broke and all that yesterday, they were making all sorts of plans.
Ding!
Yep.
I like typewriter sounds. Did you ever write any essays when you're in school on a typewriter?
No.
I know you wrote essays. Let me finish the question. On a typewriter? Never.
No.
Really?
No.
I don't know if I ever had to do a typewriter.
I have typed on a typewriter before.
What did you type on a typewriter?
Just we had a typewriter at my parents' house years ago, and I just took it out one time and just typed on it. I'd never typed on a typewriter.
Did you put paper in it and typed on it?
No, I typed on the roller inside. Of course I put paper in it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're just... Look, technically, this is just typing on it. I don't know if you meant that you're actually typing something.
I hit the letter Q repeatedly. That's what I did, Steve. And then I did it one too many times, so I had to get unroll it, get the white out, white out, the excess Qs, put the paper back in, and continue typing a different letter repeatedly.
Yeah.
That's what I did.
Sorry, man. I'm curious. What
of course there was paper in it.
What did you type out then?
Probably nothing of consequence. I was just it was a typewriter. I never typed anything. I want to see how
when
it worked.
When I grow up, I want
Dear
to be...
Dear Santa.
I want some J's.
This is what
and
I want
a
for Christmas. Yeah.
I want a replica Cruiserweight Championship title. Oh, man. Griffin Cologne asks, because everything that's all happened to 205 Live, is it a tainted brand at this point? He believes that there's a possibility Vince and company might start thinking the whole thing is more trouble than it's worth.
Here's what I think... Why I think that might not be the case or isn't the case, because all indications, the two 205 Live house shows that went on this last weekend were wildly successful.
Mm-hmm.
Venues mostly full, crowd was entertained,
mm-hmm.
everything went off really well. And I think if Vince can see that 205 Live can make money for the company, he will keep it around.
Yeah. I really think they should come around to the idea of establishing similar in the way they have with NXT, establish other territory-like things. Mm-hmm. You know, have 205 Live be a traveling show in smaller venues, and then call-ups from there. Have the UK, you know, thing be a... UK title is so meaningless right now.
I know.
Like, give them their own little territory.
I know.
And then have call-ups from there.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just start doing that. I don't know. I mean, my thing about 205 Live is at this point, it does feel... You and I both think that there are certain wholesale changes that can be made to make it really, really cool.
Yeah.
But we also understand that given their business practices, they might not, the WWE probably thinks, well, that's unrealistic business wise.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we would love to see happen with 205 Live probably isn't realistic business wise. And so they're probably closer to shuttering 205 Live.
Well, here's the thing.
Keeping a small handful of talent.
That's why I bring up the house shows, because if they see the house shows can make money for the brand.
Well, if they can make money,
yes,
yeah.
They might be more inclined to say, okay, well, we have this revenue coming in from the 205 Live house shows. Can we divert some of that money towards production of a show for 205 Live that's in a smaller venue?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's in some place. Like, I guess one of the shows over the past weekend was in Poughkeepsie, New York.
Mm-hmm.
They put the show there because it's a hot crowd traditionally.
Yeah,
I think the other one was in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Have it shot once a month. Do it there. Give it an hour. They can do it in a day. Yeah, there's production costs associated with it. But if the brand is making money on the road for the company, it can offset some of those additional costs.
Yeah, man. Look, if that works business-wise, then I think that'd be great.
It's the way to go.
Fantastic. I think
I'm pessimistic. That'd be the road they would take.
Exactly. I just feel like they're probably closer to just shuttering it. Or maybe, if it literally costs them nothing and they feel there's business, that there's good business to be made and just doing what they're still doing, and they're just going to keep on doing it. One crazy thing about that house show that nobody really talks about that much is the fact that they had some intergender stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric accidentally kicked Nia Jax, a special guest referee, and then she dropped him with a Samoa drop.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Anyways.
Anywho, would you like to play some play per view?
Would you like to play some play per view?
I suppose we should do another Rumble, since the Rumble's on Sunday, which we're going to do a live stream of our reactions, not the show.
Yeah, we're not going to show you guys the actual show.
You can watch that on your own, but we will show you our reactions to said show.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do random year. What was a good year? I don't know. I'll do 2005.
Okay, I'll do...
I didn't watch that one, I don't think. Maybe I did.
I'm going to see how this might be one of my favorite ones, just given the amount of talent in it.
This has eight matches. Sorry, six. My apologies.
Six matches. I've got six matches as well.
What year do you have?
I've got 2001.
Mm.
You should know most of
Pretty
these.
Pretty sure I watched that one. Here, you go first.
I'm probably screwed on this one. What was the dark match? It was a tag team match. It lasted 2 minutes. Kai and Tai versus Low Down. Do you want to know who was in Low Down? Do you remember who?
D-Lo.
Okay, yeah.
I don't remember who his partner was.
Jazz. They're also with Tiger Ali Singh. And they took on Kai and Tai.
I'll say Low Down.
Very good.
Rhino versus Maven in a singles match.
What year is this?
2005, I think I said.
Maven.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Ooh, tag team match for the WWF Tag Team Championships. The champions, Edge and Christian, took on the challenger, the Dudley Boys.
Dudleys.
Very good.
Edge
okay.
versus the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Whoa.
That's like quite a match to kick off a show.
Hell of a match. I'm going to say Edge took it.
Yeah.
Nice. Next.
Next.
In a ladder match for the WWF Intercontinental Championship, the champion, Chris Benoit, versus Y2J, the alpha, Chris Jericho.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. Just two people.
I was expecting more. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Benoit.
No, Y2J won the alpha. He was the alpha.
This is a gimme.
Okay.
You do have two fingers up. Heidenreich.
Heidenreich
versus The Undertaker in a casket match.
Well, The Undertaker would have won that one. All the people that have been with us and they're no longer with us, you can rest in peace. In a singles match for the WWF Women's Championship, the champion, Ivory, took on, with Steven Richards.
Oh, during, right sensor, right yeah. Sensor,
took on the challenger, the ninth wonder of the world, China.
I'll say Ivory.
Very good.
Next, triple threat match for the WWE Championship, Kurt Angle versus JBL versus Will.
Who is the champion at the
JBL.
Time? JBL won.
Yeah.
Okay. A singles match for the WWF Championship. The champion, Kurt Angle, took on the challenger, Triple H, the game.
Triple H.
Kurt Angle won. Golden Shuffle rejected.
Singles match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Randy Orton versus
Orton.
Triple H.
Mother. I'll say Orton won.
Triple H.
Whoa, Golden Shuffle in effect.
Yeah, now I got to pick the Rumble winner for 2001.
Yep.
Let me think here. So that would have been... Lesnar.
You said for 2001?
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Lesnar debuted in 2002.
Oh, I was a year off. Yeah. My math was a year off.
It's all right.
All right, who won this Rumble?
What year?
2005.
Oh, Cena.
Close. Batista.
Oh! I think did this Batista was the year. Eliminate Cena?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was this the year that Vince blew out his quads?
I think it was. Yeah, it was.
When he restarted the final
two? Yeah, it was. I got four. What'd you get?
Three.
Oh, nice. Do we get a card or something?
No, you don't get anything.
We don't get anything for this?
No.
Very well.
The process is the fun of this.
Hilton, get us some music. There we go. Thanks, Hilton.
Thank you,
Hilton. Anyways, wonderful show today.
Yes.
Yes. That's it for now. Thanks for watching. Talk to you later.
Bye.